So Pasuk tells us in Parashas Boy, Kol Malacha Lo Yesa Behem, with regards to Yontif, that all Malacha should not be performed by you, that the Medrash implies, the Medrash infers in the language of the Pasuk, not only that you shouldn't do it, but it should not be performed. That's the language of the Pasuk. Kol Malacha Lo Yesa Behem, that Shehu Adin Shalo Yasa Goy Malachtecha, says the Medrash. That also one should not have a guy who performs malacha for you. And if this is true on Yontif, certainly it's a kavu chayma that it's true on Shabbos. That's the comment of the Mechilta Darashbi on Parashas Boy, which implies perhaps that already malacha, amiru anachi could be an iser deiraisa, that no malacha is supposed to be performed, not only that I'm not supposed to do it myself. Anything that's performed on my behalf could also be an iser deiraisa. However, and the smag actually has a suffix. Should we accept this Mechilta Rashbi at face value that Amir Anachi is an Issa Deraisa or not? And the Beis Yosef quotes this, and he says that we paskin it's only an Asmach to be Alma. Rashi, on that Pasuk, on the Pasuk of Kol Malacha Yosef Behem, quotes the Mechilta, though, that Afiyu Ayde Nachri is prohibited in Deraisa, and the Ramban pounces that we presume, like already it says later in the Beis Yosef, that this is only an Asmach, and it's not to be taken literally. In the Shaar HaTzion and Simar Reish Mem Gimel Sivka and Zayin, quotes the entire discussion. We presume it's an asmachta. Why would we need an asmachta to tell us that Amir Anachri is Osman Deiraisa? So the Malbim has a fascinating suggestion in his comments on Parshas Boy, that perhaps it's because the Taz is a general rule, the Chazal cannot make a gzera against something that says explicitly in the Torah. So for example, on every other Shabbos and Yontif, we have a gzera Shem Yisak and Klishir. We don't play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yontif. So why are we allowed to blow Tkiyah Shofar every Rosh Hashanah? Tkiyah Shofar Rosh Hashanah is a violation of playing a musical instrument. We have to be afraid. Gzeira Shem Yisak and Klishir. So Chazal should have done away with the entire mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. So the Taz explains that Chazal limited in their ability to legislate gzeiros, not against something. They can't obliterate a mitzvah in the Torah, or obliterate, or go, you know, contradict something says explicitly in the Torah. So here the Pasuk says almost explicitly that the Isur of Malacha on Shabbos is limited to Jews. So what gives Chazal the right to, and non-Jews are permitted to perform Malacha on Shabbos, what gives Chazal the latitude to make a gzeiros, which seems to contradict something that already says explicitly in the Torah, that's permitted for Goyim to perform Malacha on Shabbos. And therefore, says the Malbim, we needed an Asmachta, we needed a Pesach, some already perhaps allusion to this Iser Midrabanan in the Psukim of Kol Malacha Lo Yasa Behem, which perhaps implies an Iser to perform Malacha ourselves, as well as to, on our behalf, to ask an Achri to do a Malacha. However, there might be one instance when Amir Anachri could perhaps be an Iser Midrabanan. This might or might not exist in our time. Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, in connection with Shabbos, Sheshes Yom Tasa Masecha, V'yom Ashvi Tishbois, Laman Yanuach Sharcha V'chamarcha, that you should rest, your animals should rest, the nafesh ben amascha v'aker, and you should rest on Shabbos, and your ben amascha, your female servant, as well as the convert. So who is the convert that's being discussed by the Pasuk? So the Gemara says, Mesech Sivam Sadaf Memhei, it's not referring to a Ger Tzedek. Ger Tzedek is Yisrael Mamish. It's a Yisrael Kosher. Who's it referring to? It's referring to a Ger Tayshav. That a Ger Tayshav is prohibited from performing Malacha on Shabbos. So Rashi writes in that Gemara, Ger Tayshav is prohibited. You see from the Gemara, Ger Tayshav. That's the ger who formally accepted to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach because we were commanded to do so. They are commanded to do so by Moshe Rabbeinu, which was communicated at Har Sinai. If you have a goy who officially accepts to do the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, in that context, he would be permitted to buy karka in Eretz Yisrael, and we'd be permitted to sell it to him. Otherwise, you're not allowed. So he's referred to a ger toshav, the resident alien. He's allowed to live amongst us in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi writes, and that Gemara, you see from here, ger toshav is chayv to keep Shabbos. That's Laman Yanuach. Tosfos in that Gemara asks on Rashi, he says, how could it be? That's not when the Sheva Mitzvah is B'nai Noach Shabbos. He's like, Ger Tosfos agreed to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, not more than that. So how could it be that he's obligated to keep Shabbos? So Tosfos says, no, it's referring to Amir Lenachri, even though Amir Lenachri throughout, for every other guy who's not a Ger Tosfos, is in Issa D'Rabbanan. However, with regards to Ger Tosfos, it's in Issa D'Raisa. So do we have any Ger Tosfos nowadays? That depends. The basis for the Heta Mechira, which was to sell the land in Eretz Yisrael during the Shnas HaShemitah to the neighboring Arabs. So the Heta that was articulated by Rav Kook, but really based on earlier Paiskim, earlier Rabbanu who made that suggestion. The whole Heta is predicated upon the assumption that the Arabs have the status of Gerei Toshav, because at least they profess to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So if they have the status of Gerei Tayshav, and therefore it's permitted to sell them the land during the Shnas HaShemitah. Otherwise, it's prohibited. The Pasuk says, Losachanim, Otitim, Chaniya, Bakarki, and not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to Anachri. So we must presume they have the status of Gerei Tayshav. The Chazanish argue they don't have the status of Gerei Tayshav, because even if they do, keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, which is debatable, But they're not doing because Moshe Rabbeinu received this communication at Har Sinai. As the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, they have to profess to do it. You know, they have to agree to do it for that reason. Here they're just doing it because their own religion tells them to do it. Anyway, so Chazon Ish claims there was no Hetu Mechira, but according to Rav Kook and those who follow him, that Hetu Mechira is predicated upon the fact that the Arabs have the status of Gerei Toshav, so can you have, perhaps all of the Het Terim of the Shabbos Goy in the Shul, which we're going to discuss, should not apply in Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps Amiru and Achri should be Dei Raisa. If you're going to sell them the Karka, how could I turn around and then have a Het of Amiru and Achri on Shabbos? Perhaps Amiru and Achri would be an Isim and Dei Raisa. So Rav Kook was already aware of this issue in his Tshuvas of Mishpat Kohen, and he distinguishes between selling karka in Eretz Yisrael and the Isav Amir and Achri on Shabbos. Perhaps for one, it's enough that they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, even if they have not formally accepted to do the Shabbos Mitzvah Benenoch, because they were commanded to do so by Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't formally have the status of Ger Toshav, where Amir and Achri would be their rights, but yet they don't have the status of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that would be prohibited to sell them land in Eretz Yisrael. He makes that kind of hairline distinction.
For Shabbos, it's a lower bar for Ger Toshav.
Shabbos, he claims you have to do so because Moshe Rabbeinu said it, and you have to have an official status of Ger Toshav. But to sell them karka in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have to have such an official status. As long as they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that's what we're mainly concerned about. So then the Arabs might satisfy that requirement. But generally speaking, of course, Amiru and Achri is only an Iser Midrabanan. Why is it also Midrabanan? So he's trying to mention three reasons. The Rambam's reason is because you might come to do it yourself. If I ask an Achri to do it and he's messing it up, you know, he's not doing it properly. So if you want something done right, do it yourself. So I might come to do it myself. Rashi in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Masechta Bava Metzia has another reason which is similar to that of the Rambam, because of Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. Even though, of course, there is no Shlichus to non-Jews, the Pasuk says, Kein Tarimu Gam Atem. Gemara says, Masechta Kiddushin L'Rabba Shluchachem, with regards to Truma, that you can appoint a Shliach to separate Truma for you, but Kein Tarimu Gam Atem, Atem B'nei Birsaf, Shluchachem B'nei Birsaf. So, like, you are Jewish, your Shliach has to be Jewish. Of course, you can't really have Shlichus to an Achri, but Yei Shlichus La'akum L'chumra, which is similar to the Rambam, that, it's not formal shlichus, he's not my emissary, he's not my messenger, he's not my representative, but, if he doesn't do it properly, I might come to do it myself, along the same lines. And Rashi, Masechta Avodah Zarah, has a different reason, because the Pasuk says, the Sefer Yeshayahu, in connection with Shabbos, Chibadato Mesos Terechech, Mesos Rechavetzech, V'daber Dovar, that we honor Shabbos by not doing the same activities we do during the week, one of which is the way that we speak. So if a person speaks about malacha during the week, he's not supposed to speak about malacha on Shabbos. You're not supposed to say, I plan to buy this item next week. I plan to drive here next week. You can't say these things because you're discussing a malacha. You're not supposed to say it on Shabbos. So certainly I can't instruct an Achri to do a malacha because I can't even articulate the words on Shabbos of an Isser malacha. It's prohibited. Why do we need all these reasons? So the Avnei Nezer and the Shulchan Aruch Harav and later the Stipler explain that it's in order to account for all the permutations that are covered underneath the prohibition of Amiru and Achri. So I'm not allowed to ask an Achri on Friday to form a welcome for me on Shabbos. Why? I didn't say anything on Shabbos. So it's not a problem with Dabar Dabar. But it's a problem because when an Achri is not doing it in the way that I intended, I might come to tweak it, I might come to fix it, I'll do it myself. So Yeshli Chazakum Mechum, or I might come to do it myself. Not only that, not only am I not allowed to ask him on Friday to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to ask him on Shabbos to do a malacha for me on Sunday. Why? By the time he's doing it, it's already Sunday. No, the answer is I'm simply not allowed to articulate the words, the instructions, the command to do a malacha on Shabbos. You're not allowed to speak about malacha, v'daber davar. Certainly to ask him on Shabbos to do a malacha on Shabbos would, of course, be covered under this prohibition. This Isar. The Avne Hagoyz Maimonides in Hilchos Shabbos seems to subscribe to the opinion of the Rambam and Rashi and Bava Metzia that Yesh Lichus La'akum L'chumra, because the Hagoyz Maimonides writes, one is not allowed to take money and give it to an Achri to buy something for him on Shabbos. Why? I gave him the money during the week. He's going to buy it on Shabbos. Oh, so it must be because he holds. By the time he comes to buy it, he might not do it in the way, might not do it according to your instructions, and I might be tempted to do it myself. So the Avnei Nezer derives from this Hagoyz Maimonides that he subscribes to Rashi's opinion above Metzia that it's because of Yeshlichus La'akum L'chumra, and therefore it's prohibited even if you ask him on Friday to do a malacha on Shabbos, like purchasing for, something for you. Rav Shecht and Eretz HaTzvi, in that same simon we mentioned yesterday, in simon Vav, we discuss Gzeres Derabbanan and Malachas Derabbanan, and it has a different explanation of this Hagoyz Maimonides, which is really an important yisoid. And that is, Rav Shecht argues there's some Gzeros Chazal that a person can violate even though he's passive. And therefore, even if an Achri is performing on your behalf, it won't be his Iser, it'll be my Iser. One of them might be Mekachu Memkar. Why is a person not allowed to engage in business on Shabbos? Gzeru Shabbos Yichtov. I might come to write it down. So, but does that gzera apply to the person who's contracting the sale, or the person who, you know, the sale is being contracted on his behalf? Do you actually have to be the one exchanging the money in order to be subject to the prohibition of Mecha Chomemka? Or even if someone else is doing it on my behalf, I might come to write it down. So perhaps Agos Maimonides is teaching us that the Gzeir Mecha Chomemka could be violated even though you're passive. I gave the money to the Nachri before Shabbos. He's going to contract the sale on my behalf on Shabbos. Might have nothing to do with the nature of the Yisav Amir or Nachri. Might have more to do with the Gzeir Mecha Chomemka. That could be violated even though you're passive, because when the sale is contracted, you might come to write it down, even though you were entirely passive on Shabbos. So this is related to the Erev Pesach Shechaliyos B'Shabbos Shaila. When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, when do we sell the chametz? So B'Kiv Eger discusses the possibility of selling the chametz on Erev Pesach, yeah, the 13th, and having a chal on Friday on Shabbos on the 14th. You know, you do it on Friday and it'll be chal on Shabbos. Can you have a sale that you contract on Friday? It should be chal on Shabbos. So he claims that it relates to these two perspectives on the Mecha Chomemkar. Is it because it's contracted on your behalf? Or do you actually have to engage in the transaction yourself? And we are machmer, of course, not to have a Mechiras Chametz that's chal on Shabbos. We assume perhaps Gzeira of Mecha Chomemkar could be even violated while you are being passive. This has to do with contracting internet sales on Shabbos and, you know, bidding on eBay is beyond our discussion right now. But it's all related to that discussion. This might also be related to the other gzeros. For example, let's say the Shulchan Aruch discusses in the competition to always outdo our friends with regards to making bigger and bigger simchas. So how come no one ever discussed or raised the possibility on Shabbos, I want to make the bigger Shabbos Sheva Brachas than my neighbor, so I'll have a band play for me. How can you have a band play? Well, gzero, you know, playing musical instruments on Shabbos is only gzero Shem Yisak and Kleishia. There's nothing wrong with playing a banjo. It just might break and you might come to fix it. But I'll ask a Nachri to do it. So it's a Shvus to Shvus, B'malkoi Mitzvah, what Mitzvah, V'achna Simchas Chasam Mikala. How come no one ever thought about this? Or in the competition and the race to have the biggest bar mitzvah and waste the most amount of money, how come no one ever came up with this? You know, but Malkum Simchas bar mitzvah, even though there's no such mitzvah, but okay, you know, the Sudas mitzvah. How come no one ever came up with this idea? It should be a Shvus to Shvus B'Malkum mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah actually discusses this, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes many Achrayim that we don't accept that heter. Some did, interestingly. But the Mishnah Berurah claims we don't paskin that way. We're Machmer. Rav Shechter explains that Eretz HaTzvi, the reason why we're machmer is, again, because we assume that Gzeira Shem Yisak and Klishe could be violated even though you're passive. It's not focused on the person playing the instrument, it's who the instrument is being played on their behalf. Because if the banjo breaks, the band player might not come to fix it, the Baal Simcha might come to fix it. So therefore, even though it's being played by a Nachri, he wouldn't have the Heter Shvus to Shvus. It's not his Yisur, it's my Yisur, even though I'm being entirely passive. So this might open us up to the entire category of Yisur, more perhaps... at some point this year, it's a good opportunity to mention it. Don't forget about Bishul B'Shabbos. That's part of the composite Chiyuvim of the fourth Yalach HaMaisa, for whatever reason. So so one of the gzeros that we deal with in Bishul B'Shabbos is Shami Echata B'Gacholim. You're not allowed to return cold food to a flame, or return food to a flame. Maybe you'll stoke the coals to heat up the food after it's cooled down once you removed it. So the Chazon Ish claims it has nothing to do with placing it on the flame. Even if it happened to be there all by itself, the power went out and the power turns back on, I have to remove the fire from the food from the flame, because I might violate Gzeira Shemi Echat B'Gachom. It's not focused on the action of placing the food on top of the flame. It's focused on the situation, what he refers to as an Easter Matzav. So even if you're entirely passive, you might come to violate this Easter, and therefore asking an Achri to put food on top of a flame for you on Shabbos might not be mutter because of Shvus to Shvus Mokim, mitzvah v'enek Shabbos. Because even if an Achri places it there, you might come to stoke the coals. You might come to heat up the food faster. So this opens us up to that entire category of Yisurim, which we have to figure out what is included in that category, what not. But there might be, by the same token, to the other extreme, there might be Yisurim which are only prohibited for me to do, which are very much action-oriented, and if an Achri does it, it becomes Heter Gomer. It's not that it's lower to a Shvus, it's entirely Mutter. Usually Amir and Achri is Asim and Darabanan. There might be certain instances when once I ask an Achri to do it, it's entirely permitted. One example of this might be, the Shaar HaTzion discusses the Yisur of Uvdu D'Chol. Let's say I ask a Nachri, to do something which on Shabbos is only prohibited because of Uvdu D'Chol. What's an example of that? Perhaps, thank God, hopefully we don't have it anymore this year, shoveling snow. Yeah, shoveling snow, according to some Paiskim, the snow is Muktzah. According to other Paiskim, it's not Muktzah. I don't have time to get into that now either. Ramesh or Shlomo Zalman, maybe snow is Muktzah. But even if it's, let's say, assume it's not Muktzah, certainly Uvdu D'Chol to shovel the snow on Shabbos. So, but let's say, okay, people might slip. Okay, we get involved in all the discussion regarding shoveling snow. However, perhaps once I ask a Nachri to do it, it's entirely permitted. Because the only reason Uvdu Duchal is prohibited on Shabbos because of Tircha B'Shabbos, it's not proper to engage in this activity on Shabbos, because it usually involves a Malacha. Okay, but once I ask a Nachri to do it, so perhaps it's not lower to an Issa de Rabbanon or a Shvus de Shvus, it's entirely permitted, because I'm not the one engaging in the Issa. Over here, it's entirely action-oriented. And therefore, once the action is being undertaken by somebody else, perhaps it should be permitted. Or the Prima Gadim in Hilchas Yantif actually has a discussion. What about Hachana B'Shabbos, preparing on Shabbos for Chol, which is prohibited because it's Tircha Shaloi L'Tzairich. You know, packing, setting up the table is all Shaloi L'Tzairich on Shabbos if you're setting it for tomorrow, for first day Yantif, the second day Yantif. What are you doing this now for? So, it's Hachana for, you know, for tomorrow is prohibited. But why? Because it's Tircha Shaloi L'Tzairich. So what if I ask a Nachri to do it? So I'm not the one being Tzairich, the Nachri is being Tzairich. And perhaps it's not really formally Usser, necessarily. It's just because it's Tircha Shaloi L'Tzairich. Here the Nachri is the one who's doing it. So the Prima Gadim is not sure. Maybe Hachana Day Nachri should be permitted. The Mishabur is Machmir, but it's well known that the Marsham is Meik on the Das Torah. I don't never bring rayas or you know, from caterers, but there are many Pesach caterers that are Meiko. They do many things that are wrong, but they bring many Pesach caterers who will set up on first day Yontif the table for second day Yontif. You're really not supposed to do that. In your house, we wouldn't do it. But perhaps if it's a day Amir or Anachri, a person is at the in-laws, let's say they have help in the house, and you got to make a mad dash on, let's say, Shabbos to get out of the house for whatever reason. I don't know why, but you need to bolt after Shabbos. So those who will be Mekel, based on the Marsham, to pack a suitcase, ask the Anachri to pack your suitcases on Shabbos, and you can leave already on, let's say, Shabbos, Hachana. Now, on Shabbos, a day Amir or Anachri, there are those who are willing to be lenient, to be willing to tell me, no, we pass like the Mishnah Berurah, Chas V'Shalom, to be Mekel, but it's well known. You can't hide the chum. People already know about this Marsham. It's not a secret. So the Marsham is Meiko. Another instance where this might be the case, where once he has the Nachri to do it, it's entirely permitted. It could be Psik Reshe. The Ramah writes that one is not supposed to sweep a dirt floor on Shabbos, because even though your intention is to pick up the crumbs, it's an inevitable consequence of your actions that you're going to smooth out the floor in the process. So it's a Psik Reshe. It's not your intention, but it's an unintended, inevitable consequence, and therefore is prohibited. But if I ask a Nachri to sweep the floor, the dirt floor on Shabbos, then the Ramah says it's permitted. Why? Or the Ramah in some Rishon Gimel Sif Hei in Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos discusses that the Nachri is going to put logs in the fire on Shabbos. When he puts logs in the fire, because that's HaKochel Meitzel HaKar, you're allowed to heat up the house on Shabbos. Because people, Aydei Amir or Nachri, because otherwise we're all sick with regards to the cold. We discussed yesterday. So let's say you have a cholent that's on top of the furnace. So the Ramah says, if a Nachri is the one who's doing it, so you're normally not allowed to do that when you turn on the flame, it's going to heat up the cholent, even though it's a psik reshe, even though it's not your intention, it's an unintended result. Here, Amir Nachri, it's allowed. Amir Nachri is permitted when it comes to, psik reshe is permitted when it comes to Amir Nachri. Why? So the Baruch Tam writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, because that's not what I asked him to do. Amir Nachri relates to my instructions. My instruction was to sweep the floor and pick up the dirt. Sweeping the floor and picking up the dirt inherently is permitted. The problem is, you're going to smooth out the floor in the process. But that's not what I commanded you to do. My Amir Anachri relates only to what I asked you to do, explicitly not to, you know, things that might come about as a consequence of Psik Reshe that's not included in my Amira. I didn't ask you to do that. Or that's not included in my instructions. So therefore, it'd be permitted. That's why Ramosha says, yeah?
For both Svaras.
Certainly it's not for Dabar Dabar. But even, I'm not asking you to sweep the floor. It's not that I'm going to see, oh, you didn't smooth out the floor properly, let me do it myself. That's not what I was asking you to do. I was asking you to pick up the dirt. So even though it's an unintended result, I'm not concerned with that. So let's say, for example, Ramayisha discusses the classical dilemma of a person who forgets to take the light bulb out of his refrigerator on Shabbos and he needs his food. So what are the options that you have available to you? So Ramayisha says the best option of all is to ask a Nachri to open the refrigerator door. Because when you ask him to open the refrigerator door, that's mutter to open the door. It's going to trigger the light to go on, but that's not what I asked him to do. If the light doesn't go on properly, I don't care. It's not included in my instructions to him, in my dividaber davar. So I haven't discussed doing a malacha. I discussed opening the door. So that would be permitted. Or similarly, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa discusses, I asked the Nachri to wash dishes on Shabbos. And he decides he wants to use the hot water. Well, let's say, can I ask him to use the hot water? What's the problem with using that water in Shabbos? In most places, in most homes, is they have a water heater in the basement. When you take hot water out of the water heater, cold water comes in and takes its place. I'm not using that water. I'm using the hot water that was in there already, but I'm inevitably causing cold water to come in and take its place. It's a psik reishe. So the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says, I could ask the Nachmi to use the hot water. I said, don't wash the dishes in cold water. Wash it in hot water. They'll do that if they know how to wash dishes anyway, but I can ask him to do it because it's only a psik reishe. Psik reishe, the Yavir HaNachri. Is permitted. That's not what I asked him to do, and it's not included in my instructions. This is relevant, though. Really opens up a whole different discussion, which is what the Shulchan Aruch touches on over here in Simar Reish Mem Zayin Siv Gimel. That Mogal to ask an Achri, of course, to do a malacha during the week, and if he decides to do it on Shabbos, I bring my dry cleaning in on Tuesday, and he waits till Shabbos to do my dry cleaning, my tailoring. That's permitted. It's not what I asked you to do. I didn't ask you to violate Shabbos. If I bring it in 2 seconds before Shabbos and I say I'm picking it up Monday Shabbos, there's no time that you possibly could have done it during the week. I'm implicitly asking you to do it on Shabbos. But even if I didn't say the words, it's obvious that's what I'm asking you to do. But if I bring it in during the week and you decide to do it on Shabbos, that's up to the Nachri and it's not included in my instructions. So similarly, the Kaf HaChaim, the Svari, so he quotes from the Marikash, that in Mitzrayim, like Eretz Yisrael, they used to have very dusty floors, so they would wash the floors quite often with a squeegee. I've never seen a squeegee in the United States, ever once. So I don't know if any of these heterim would apply here. But in Eretz Yisrael, let's say you want to ask the Nachri to wash the floor. I don't specify a mop or a squeegee. So a mop is prohibited because it's schita, melacha d'oraisa, perhaps. Might be li'ibud, okay, melacha d'rabbanan, maybe. Good question. Certainly, yes, sir. Squeegee, huh?
It's not psychoreshah.
It is. Well, the question is, you don't want the liquid there permanently. You want it there temporarily. That's a shayla that called schita leib, but the whole baby wipe shayla. But let's leave that for another time. So it's certainly, yes, sir. But a squeegee is permitted, assuming you don't push the water out of your house onto the grass. Right? Permitted. So I ask him, wash the floor, and I'm vague. And there's two things there. The Nachmi decides to use the mop. So says Marikash, that's permitted. He could have used a squeegee. Maybe I meant the squeegee. So that's up to him. He decided to do it. That's what we call a daita den afshei oved. He decides to wash my, he decides to do my dry cleaning, to do my, tailoring on Shabbos. Okay, that's a daita den afshei oved. That would be, that's entirely up to him. So it's over here. It's entirely up to him that he decided to do it in a prohibited way. That would not be on my cheshbon. Or, for example, I come to some buildings in Manhattan. And there's a button that the doorman presses to unlock the electromagnet or to open the door. So he could have gotten up and opened the door himself, nothing preventing him from doing so. It's easier for him to press the button. So that's also, again, a daita den afshei oved. Or I like to give the example that if you ask a Nachri to wash dishes for you on Shabbos, many people have help in the house on Shabbos, particularly if they're having a lot of guests and they want to wash dishes. So can you ask them to wash dishes? So if all you have there is a regular sponge, I don't think you can. I'm asking the Nachri to do a malacha. We don't use sponges on Shabbos. I can't ask the Nachri to do it either. If I have a Shabbos sponge, which is the red, the sponge with the bristles that are far apart, and you subscribe to those who think that that's permitted on Shabbos, so then there's a mutter way to wash the dishes, and then there's the regular sponge. He decides, or she decides to use the regular sponge. That's up to her. That's up to him. They have both options there before them, like the squeegee and the mop.
Because these are not separation.
This is not psik reishe, but what you derive from psik reishe is it's only included in my, what that opens us up to the possibility of, is that even if what they end up doing is a malacha, if I didn't command them to do it, it's permitted. It's like a daiv tidin af shavet. It's similar to the het of the psik reishe. It's only, the Isser of Amil Nachri is limited to what I instructed him to do. So if I didn't instruct him to necessarily use the sponge, I left open the possibility of using the Shabbos sponge. A non-malacha version needs to be available. Otherwise, implicitly, what I'm asking you to do is a malacha.
Yeah, but you could ask them to do something that automatically has a psik reisha.
Correct, but again, that's because it's not included in my instructions. Yeah,
why,
same idea.
I don't get why. What's the difference between the refrigerator between this and the refrigerator? It's both. It seems like it's direct psik reisha.
Psik reisha is fine, again, because I didn't ask him to do the malacha part. That's an unintended consequence.
There you want him to open the drawer and just like, get the light bulb versus light bulb is just consequential versus
correct.
Like, mopping, it's more, the
malach
is more direct.
No, they're both the same in conceptually. The two applications are the same principle, but the principle is the iser is limited to what I instructed him to do. If there's either another possibility of doing it in a permitted way, or it's an unintended consequence, the iser, but it's not directly related to my instructions, that's mutter. I mean, Nachum is limited to what I directly instructed him to do. Anything that comes to come about as a consequence, or anything that he decides along the way and has two roads before him and decides to do one and not the other, it's entirely up to him. That's all Adai to the Nafshei Ovid. It's the same answer, conceptually. However, there is some limitation to this. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa in the third volume, Kosrim Shlomo Zalman, I don't know where this ended up in the new edition, but Kosrim Shlomo Zalman, that if I ask, if a Nachmi does something for me in an abnormal way, Kalacha, yeah, that's a Shvus to Shvus, we'll get to that soon. So a Nachmi does it in an abnormal way, it's a Shvus to Shvus, B'makom Mitzvah. I think he quotes the Prima Gadim, who's mistopic by this, but he quotes by Shlomo Zalman, who's lenient. So then the shaila is, and how come every time I ask a Nachri to do something, it isn't a shvus to shvus? Well, the Nachri decided to do it in the normal way. Who told you to do it in the normal way? You had the option of doing it before. You're turning on the light, kalachar yad. You decided to turn on the light the normal way. That's a da'at to the nafshei avad. That's the shaila. The Orcha Shabbos asks this problem. Once you're going to say this possibility that the Nachri doing malacha kalachar yad is only a shvus to shvus, how come every Amir Nachri is not automatically a shvus to shvus? So maybe that's a raya that Shmir Shad, you know, that this is wrong. And then, no, if an Achmi does something, it's not a Shvus to Shvus, it's one Shvus. However, the Orcha Shabbos goes in the other direction, and he says, no, it must be that there is the permitted way of doing something and the Easter way of doing something are both reasonable options. I have two sponges here, a regular sponge and a Shabbos sponge. He decides to use a regular sponge. That's entirely up to you, but both options were equally available. But if it's unreasonable to presume that the Nachri would turn on the light with the back of his hand, unless he was instructed to do so, so then that's not considered to be a daite, a denafshe of it. So let's say, for example, all I have there is a regular sponge, no Shabbos sponge. Well, the Nachri could have put soap on his hands and washed dishes by putting soap on his hands. That would be like a yeshiva guy way of washing dishes. So that's unreasonable. Nobody who knows how to wash a dish would ever think to wash dishes, I don't think, would think to wash dishes in that fashion. So again, that would be a limitation on this heter. So that's the nafshei avad, it has some limitation in that the permitted way of doing something has to be available to him and reasonable that he would have done it. Similar to this heter, though, again, the same concept, that the Yisra Mio Nachri is limited to what I directly commanded him to do, instructed him to do, the Mishnah Berurah Simei Reish Nun Beis, Siklan Chazayin, quotes from the Taz, that if I, let's say, ask the Nachri to go into my kitchen and wash dishes, but the light is off. So then inevitably they're going to have to turn on the light in order to wash the dishes. That's not what I asked him to do, though. That's permitted, says the Taz. So that's why there were those, they quote from Bekiva Eger, there were those who, let's say, wanted the light on in their studies. They would ask the Nachri, oh, can you go get me this sefer? Then, or getting the sefer is permitted. There's nothing wrong with getting you can't see the svarim in the dark. So Nachri will turn on the light. Once he turned on the light, then it's permitted for me to use the room. All of these things are all based on the same concept. Or another common example, someone just asked me this downstairs, I think from the shiur, that what if I ask a Nachri to come to my house to help me out on Shabbos? But he lives a half an hour away, so he's going to drive there. Yeah, but I didn't ask you to drive. I really don't care how you get here. So that's not part of my instructions. Again, I asked you to come to my house to do permitted things, to watch my kids, I don't know, to, sweep the floor, which is not a dirt floor. All these things are permitted, and that's what I asked you to do. I didn't ask you to drive here. So again, that's not included in my instructions, and therefore it would be like the Taz would be permitted. So the only time Amir Nachri is Aser, again, is when Malach is directly, communicated in my instructions. What if I communicate these instructions to one Nachri, and then the Nachri communicates it to another Nachri? You play a game of telephone. So Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes him in Tshuva Schavos Yoyer, who allowed Amiro da Amiro, one Nachri to another Nachri. However, the Chavos Yoyer quotes him in Avodas HaGershuni, who was a contemporary of his, who disagreed both Misvara. And he said he had a raya against it. He said, first of all, it makes no sense. All the reasons apply of you might come to do it yourself, and v'daber dover, you spoke about a malach on Shabbos. So just because it was a game of telephone, shouldn't make it permitted. And he says he has a mishnah against it. The mishnah says, misech le Shabbos, daf kuf nun, I'm not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos, and I'm not allowed to ask a nachri to hire workers for me. The favorish of mishnah. Why not? It's amira d'amira, so it must be we don't accept this het of amira d'amira. So some safer. Claimed that the whole head of Amir Damir was only mentioned, it was only suggested on Erev Shabbos to do a malach on Shabbos. I ask a Nachri on Erev Shabbos to ask another Nachri to perform malach for me on Shabbos. So then I don't have the problem of a Dabar Davar, because I spoke about the malacha on Shabbos and Erev Shabbos, and even the problem of Yesh Lichos L'chumra, that I might come to do it myself, is mitigated by the fact that it's twice removed. So Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Zayin Sifkan Chav Dalet Kotzom Shlomo Kluger, that perhaps B'shas Adchaki could be make off, he asked him to do it on Erev Shabbos, but even that he's not thrilled about. That's why I don't, the head of Amir Damiri is really not useful. But again, it's only the Issa Amir Nachri is only limited to what I instructed explicitly the Nachri to do on my behalf. What if I'm just Meramez to the Nachri? So that Mishnah told us in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Nun, you're not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask a Nachri to hire workers for you on Shabbos. What if I say, though, you know what, to the workers, say stick around, Matzei Shabbos, you never know what might happen. There might be work available. So the Gemara says that is permitted. Stick around to Matzei Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Zayin, Siv Zayin, says it's mutter to be Meramez to a Nachri on Shabbos. To elude him, stick around Matzei Shabbos, you never know what might happen. However, the Ramah in Siv Chav Beis, their Shin Zayin Sifchav Beis puts a major limitation on this heter, that's only if I tell them, stick around till Matzei Shabbos, you never know what might happen. Matzei Shabbos, meaning I'm not asking him to do stick around now, or I'm meramez him to do a malacha now. I'm meramez him that there might be work here available Matzei Shabbos, so it's a remez for Matzei Shabbos, then it's permitted. Otherwise not. So Remiza says the Ramah is really limited. In fact, he's a raya, because the Gemara says in Masechta the Shabbos, if a person's house is burning down, right, and he doesn't live in the civilization where it's Pikuach Nefesh. So all it is a loss of property that's at stake. I'm allowed to say, Koha Mechabe no Mafsid. Whoever puts out the flame won't lose out. Implying that I would like someone to put out the flame. But I can't directly command somebody to do it, but I can say whoever will put out the flame won't lose, meaning you'll get paid. So I'm being meramis. So that heter was only articulated, again, was only issued if it's b'makom hefsid. Someone's house is burning down. But were it not b'makom hefsid, it sounds like remiza would in fact be prohibited. But remiza is permitted if it's Matzei Shabbos, or it's permitted, it's b'makom hefsid. However, even where remiza is permitted, again, the two situations where remiza is permitted is b'makom hefsid for Matzei Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Ayin Vav distinguishes that that's only if it's remiza b'derech tzivoy. Remiza is permitted, it's permitted even b'derech tzivoy. The only time it's prohibited, where it's on Shabbos, or it's not b'makom hefsid, is if it's remiza b'derech tzivoy. If it's remiza b'derech sipur dvarim b'yalma, it's permitted even not in those situations. Remiza b'derech sipur dvarim b'yalma. If I'm just telling him a story and he gets the message. If I say, kol machabe no mafsid, I mention the activity, or I say, stick around b'derech Shabbos, there might be work, but I don't explicitly ask him, it's only permitted Matzei Shabbos over Makom Hefsid, but otherwise it's permitted as long as it's Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma. The Prima Gadim calls him a rush. Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this. If I ask the guy to come over to my house so I can tell you a story, so I'm mitzave you to come to my house so I can be meramez to you Shalom Derech Tzivoy. It's really difficult if we could call that Shalom Derech Tzivoy. I asked you to come over to my house Derech Tzivoy to tell you a remez Shalom Derech Tzivoy. That's a little bit difficult. Certainly, if the Nachri already knows the code, when I walk into my building every Shabbos, the Nachri asks me, do you want me to push the elevator for you? So even though I've never taken the elevator before on Shabbos, every Shabbos he asks me that. So that's not Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma. That's a tzivoy. Even if I would say nothing, and he pushed the elevator button for me, he knows I want him to do that. That's a code. Someone showed me, we were discussing last week, Alexa and these things on Shabbos. So someone showed me in Google Home that if you say to Google Home, it's dark in my room. So Google Home will turn on the lights for you. And then it will say to you, I'm not your Shabbos guy. So like if that's already programmed in, when you say it's dark in the room and it turns on the light, that's, it's hard to call that Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma. However, if it's Remiza Shalom B'Derech Tzivoy, it's Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma, it seems to be permitted. The problem is, even not on Matzei Shabbos, not on Makom Hefsid, then Remiza B'Derech Tzivoy is permitted. But Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma seems to always be permitted. The problem is, the Mishnah tells himself the Shabbos, a guy who lights a candle for a Jew, the Jew is not permitted to use the candle. If the guy lights the candle for himself, a Jew is permitted to use the candle, ne'er le'echa, ne'er le'me'a. But if he lights a candle for one, it's a candle for 100. But if he lights a candle on behalf of the Jew is not allowed to use the candle. The Ramah says in Siman Reish Ayin Vav Sif Aleph, I don't have to leave the room, but I'm certainly not allowed to walk into the room to benefit from the light. And then the Ramah quotes when it goes, Mordechai, in the name of the, I think, Rabbeinu Simcha, that I have to be mitzvah. If I see him about to do this, I have to be mitzvah. I have to tell him, don't do this for me. Tell him, stop doing this. It's early. If he does it once, I can't let him do it again in the future. I have to tell him, if you do this, you're going to lose your job. You can't work in my house and do this. So, you know, how could it be that even if I didn't tell him anything, a guy does a lie to my behalf, is prohibited to use it. Not only was I, wasn't Maram Isderach Tzivu, I wasn't Maram Isderach Tzivu with Rabbi Elmo. The guy did it all by himself. If a Nachri, the Be'er Halacha makes an important point, if a Nachri, there in that Ramah, if a Nachri turns off my, I leave the lights on Shabbos in a certain way, and I tell the Nachri before Shabbos, please don't touch the lights. The Nachri makes a mistake and turns off the light. I say, Nachri, why'd you turn off the light? I left the light on in here. Then he turned it back on. That he does for himself. I left it on properly. He turned it off. He made a mistake. So he's doing it to fix his own mistake. Then it's permitted. Or the Nachri turns on the light. I say to the Nachri, don't turn on the light for me, and he does it anyway. Then I'm permitted to use the light. I have to instruct him, don't do this anymore, you're going to lose your job, because he didn't listen to me. I told you, don't turn on the light, and he did. I know people who have a Nachri, they say, don't do it, and the Nachri knows, ha ha, and he turns it on. So then it's a joke. Again, you made a joke out of it. But if it's, you have to mean it. So, but if you mean it, and the Nachri does it anyway, then you could use the light. But why can't I use the light? I wasn't mitzvah in the Nachri to do it. So it must be, when a Nachri does a malach on my behalf, I can't benefit from it. And not only that, I have to tell him not to do it, even though I wasn't Merami's team. So when is the heter of Ramiza derech sipur with Rambi Alma? So Tosfos asks this kasha. Himself the Shabbos, and Tosfos distinguishes between when the Nachri creates a new avenue of Hana that I didn't previously have, like lighting a candle in a room. That's prohibited, even if I wasn't Merami's to the Nachri, even if he did it on his own. Certainly I'm not allowed to be Merami's in derech sipur, even derech sipur with Rambi Alma. The only time Ramiza is permitted is when it's removing something, you know, or avoiding a problem, not creating a new avenue of benefit, but removing a problem. And this distinction of Tosfos is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, Shin Lamedal, Sifkan Samach Aleph, that I'm never allowed to be Meramis to a Nachri to turn on something, only to turn off something. So let's say it's too cold in the room. I could be Meramis in the Nachri. You know, it's really cold in here. Can you turn off the air conditioning? Or it's really cold in here. Someone wants to go to sleep in here, and he realizes he's supposed to turn off the light. Or I say to him, it's really cold in here, and he realizes to turn off the air conditioning. So then you can be Meramis to him, but not to turn something on, never to turn on a light. I can't say it's really dark in here, and he realizes to turn on the light. That's the Ramiza would never be permitted in that situation. There's a discussion within the Paiskim, what's called removing, what's called creating. Let's say I have somewhat of a suffix. Let's say the Nachri brings something for me. let's say that something's trapped in a car. It's Machlekes or Meishon Shlomo Zalman. Guy leaves his chalas in the car. So I meramis to the Nachri, oh, by the way, I left my chalas in the car. So the Nachri goes to the car, and he gets out the chalas. Or I say to him, I have no chalas, I left it in the car. He realizes there are sipur dvarim, I'm going to go get them. So Moshe said, no, he didn't create chalas. The chalas were here before. He, removed an impediment of the car. Shlomo Zalman says, no, Kolzman, the chalas were in the car. They're useless. He's the one who created the new avenue of benefit. That's, and you wouldn't be allowed to be Meramis to the Nachri in that kind of situation. If the Nachri brings something for me, though, that's not here at all. He brings something for me, Derech Roshus HaRabim, on Shabbos. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Zayin, Sif Yudawid, that that's prohibited. In Hana on Shabbos, I can't use it on Shabbos because the Nachri created something new. He brought something from elsewhere, even though I didn't ask him to do it. I wasn't Meramis him to do it, even Derech Sipur Dvarim at all. Nothing. He did it all on his own. I'm not allowed to use it on Shabbos, just like he lit a candle for me. I'm not allowed to enjoy that item that he brought me. Chutz
L'Tchum. Have you seen that the challahs are for Tzarech Mitzvah?
It sure is Tzarech Mitzvah.
So even if Shlomo Zalman, would Nachri getting the
chalas
in the car be okay?
Amir Nachri is not Motu Mitzvah. It's only Shvus to Shvus, a double Darabanan.
So if opening getting the car door is electricity, which is Darabanan.
Oh, you're saying good argument. So. I'll do you one better. Even half of the electricity of the car is psigreshe.
Right.
The light going on is not, so it might be even better. You're 100% right. Excellent point. Shulchan Aruch and Shin Zayin Sif Yudal, when he's discussing the letters that arrive on Shabbos, he says, well, in those days you might receive urgent messages in the mail, so you're allowed to read the mail on Shabbos. So he said, it's prohibited in Hana, you might have, an emergency that you have to deal with. So in Rabbi Badner, Sefer and Hilchos Muktzah, he quotes from Rav Moshe that this has to, the heter doesn't exist anymore in our times. No one makes urgent communications through the snail mail. You would use a phone, and even a phone is becoming archaic, right? You would communicate it in some other way. The Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes from the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Nun Zayin. There's also quoted by Rabbi Bodner Sefer and Hukas Muktza that Mishnah Berurah says, well, you could take the letter. Letters are never Muktza because you could always use it. You could use it as a bottle stopper or something, and you know, or as a coaster. And therefore, even though it arrived on Shabbos, even if I don't use the message, the mail shouldn't be, you know, the guy brought it for me, you know, michutz l'tchum, it should be prohibited in Hana, but this form of Hana would be permitted. Latzor apitz l'choisev, or used as a coaster, and therefore the mail should not be muktzah, because that, you know, that kind of Hana would be permitted. So that's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. However, again, that wouldn't apply to our mail. Usually the mail nowadays is important documents. You wouldn't take your mortgage statement and use it as a coaster, and if you would, you're probably not too smart. Yeah, or you wouldn't take your paycheck and use it as a coaster. It's not.
So you'd use the envelope.
Yeah, or if it's you would use the envelope of your pay stub for. I don't think so.
I mean, you'd use the envelope once you take the value stuff outside.
Yeah.
It's a useless piece
of
paper.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you get a solicitation from yeshiva, so then you might use it as a coaster. All right. Yeah, so you might distinguish between different types of mail. But if something comes in chutz l'tchum, that's creating something new that didn't exist before. Even if the Nachri did it for me without even asking, I'm prohibited to use it on Shabbos. What if, though, I could have, you know, had this form of benefit, but the Nachri made it easier? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Ayin Vav, if the Nachri lit a candle for me in the room, I'm not allowed to use it even though I didn't ask him. But if he lights an additional candle, he's Maisif Ar. I could have read in this room, I could have done this, but now he made it easier to do it. So then I am permitted to use the light on Shabbos. Even though he did it for me. He sees me sitting in the dark and I'm straining my eyes, but I'm reading, and he says, oh, sir, let me open the light for you. So I'm, you know. So then it's permitted because I could have read before. Okay. So that's if I had that form of Hana earlier, so then it's permitted. If he created a new form of Hana for me, it would be prohibited. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses the Siman Shin Chavav, Sifkat and Tezvav, about a Nachri who polishes shoes on Shabbos. Would you call that making it easier to benefit or creating a whole new form of benefit? I would probably call that he made my shoes better, not that he enabled me to wear them. But the Mishnah Berurah considers that to be like a new form of benefit. I guess the Mishnah Berurah is very machmir about his shoes. So if they were dirty, he wouldn't wear them. Now that the Nachri polished them, you can't wear them on Shabbos. So if a Nachri, you know, gratuitously polished your shoes on Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah, you wouldn't be allowed to wear them. It created a whole new form of benefit that didn't previously exist. So too, Rav Moshe writes that one is not allowed to be meramis to the Nachri to turn on the air conditioning. Why? I could have sat in here in the heat. So I could have done it, you know, b'daychak. Now the Nachri is making it easier for me. That's like Moshefar. Rav Moshe claims no. That's like creating a whole new avenue of benefit that didn't exist previously. And you cannot be meramis to the Nachri to turn on the air conditioner, only to turn off the air conditioner. But if it's, you know, if he did it, you wouldn't be allowed to use the room. But what about where it's permitted, let's say, to use that which the Nachri did for me without asking, like he's Moisifar? Can I even be meramis to him to be Moisifar? I can only do it if he benefit from it, if he did it for me, you know, without asking. Again, we said, if a Nachri lights a candle for me, I'm not allowed to benefit from it, even if I didn't ask. It created a new form of benefit. If it was already, I could have still done this activity, but he made it a little bit easier by adding a candle. It's permitted for me to benefit from it. Can I even be meramis to the Nachri to do it or not? So this is actually a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. In Shin Zayin, Sifkan Ayin Vav, he says it's permitted. In Reish Ayin Vav, Lamed Zayin, he says it's prohibited. And if you look it up in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, he won't. It's also a steer in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. Probably because he was just parroting, you know, mimicking the Mishnah Berurah. So it's a machlokes contemporary poskim. Is that permitted? Rav Moshe claims that it's mutar. You can even be meramis to the Nachri to be Moisifar. Rav Shlomo Zalman said it should be prohibited. Not allowed to be meramis. Just like, even though you can benefit from it, you can never be meramis to a Nachri to create or to add to a hana that you're receiving, only to remove a problem. Okay, so the Mishnah says Masechet Shabbos, we mentioned it already, Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and there, and Nachri lights a candle for himself, then I'm permitted to benefit from the candle. If he lights it for a Jew, it's prohibited. Let's say he does it, that's because it's a candle. Let's say he brings water for himself, Michutz L'Tchum, can I benefit from that water? So that it says in the Mishnah, no, he can't benefit from that water. Gzer Hashem Yarbe B'Shviloi. Because now that he sees once that I'm using the water that he brought back, he might say, oh, you know, this guy likes when I bring water. He'll bring extra water for me the next time. He'll do a greater malacha. So therefore it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Chaf Hei, Sif Yud, that if a Nachri cooks food for himself on Shabbos, let's say there's no problem with Bishul Akam, he heats up hot water, I cannot use the hot water on Shabbos. Gzeir Hashem Yarbe B'Shvilei. However, the Shulchan Aruch adds, that's only if he knows you. You know, and if I use it once, he might bring it for me the next time. If he doesn't know me, it's not Makiroi, then it would be permitted. But generally speaking, if he brings for himself and he knows me, so he might add for me the next time, Gzeir Hashem Yarbe B'Shvilei is prohibited. But if he does it for himself and he's not makir me, so then it would be permitted. Then what about if a Nachri does a malacha, both for Jews and non-Jews? We discuss if he does it for himself, I can benefit from it. If he does it for me, I can't benefit from it. What if he does it for both, Jews and non-Jews? So the Mishnah Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos over there, Kufcha Beis Medal, if we go based on Roiv. If Roiv of the people he did it for are Jews, it's prohibited. If Roiv of the people he did it for are Nachrim, it's permitted. And that's the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis. We go based on Roiv. Unless, obviously, he says, I'm doing this for the Jews, even though they're the minority here. So then, obviously, it's prohibited. But if we don't know, then we would assume he did it for the people who are the Roiv. The Mishnah Berurah though, Sif Kanyi Zayin discusses, what if he did it for both? Not that there's one demographic he's doing it for and the other one who's tangential. He's doing it for everybody who's present, the majority and the minority. So Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, then it's prohibited. It's prohibited for me to benefit from it. So let's say a Nachri heated up water for Jews and non-Jews. For everyone who's staying in the hotel, they make coffee in the morning. There's no bishulaka on coffee. So can I have the continental breakfast in the hotel that I'm staying in? Heat it up for Jews and non-Jews, for all the people who are staying in the hotel. You'll tell me they don't know there are Jews staying in the hotel. It doesn't matter. They heat it up for you. All the guests of the hotel, they heat it up for. So Magen Avraham says he can't use it. However, then the Bir Halacha quotes from the Nishma Sadam, from the Elia Rabba, who disagree. That if he did it for both, and he didn't add anything for the Jews, they make a standard breakfast. I don't believe in these hotels. I should really check, but I don't believe in these sweet hotels that they check how many guests there are there and measure their breakfast accordingly. I would presume they just make pots of coffee as needed for all the guests of the hotel. They're doing whatever they would normally do, and they're not adding for the Jews, then it's permitted. They're doing it for both, but they're not doing anything different for the Jews, in addition. Then it's permitted. And the Tiferes Yisrael and his Hakdamah to Masechta Shabbos called the Kilkelos HaShabbos and Mishnayos, as well as Ramesh and Igros Moshe, and many other parties can subscribe to this heter. That was the heter to go on a kosher cruise on Shabbos. In order for a boat to move in the sea, someone has to be operating it. It's like driving a car. It's like, how can I ask a Nachri, to drive the boat for me on Shabbos? Whenever they take these kosher cruises, I've never been on one, but I've seen cruise ships. Cruise ships are ginormous. It's like a moving city. So when there's a kosher cruise, it's not a kosher cruise. There's a kosher part of the cruise, probably a vast minority. But these things are gigantic. So your majority of the people on the boat are non-Jews. Minority are Jews. So as long as the minority is Jews, even though they're driving the boat for Jews too, if the Jews are the majority, but the minority, and they're not adding anything, not driving the boat any differently because of the Jews. They're not adding fuel, as we discussed yesterday, for the extra few passengers that are Jews that are on the boat. So then be permitted on Shabbos, who's doing the same thing anyway. So that was the heter for those who take cruises on Shabbos, was the assumption that either way, it's they're driving the boat in the same fashion. Or Ramesha discusses, how come in Eretz Yisrael there's such a tumult with regard to using electricity on Shabbos, because there's Jews working in the power Jews working in the power plants, and even if there's no Jews working in the power plants, but they're running the power plant on my behalf on Shabbos. How can I use electricity? How can I leave it on over Shabbos? They're doing malachas on my behalf. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's a big discussion. Some have generators. Some assume, the hospitals have to be on the power grid, and therefore everybody's allowed to be on the power grid, whatever the heck there is. However, in Chutz Laaretz, we never had such a discussion. Why not? How come we don't have such a tumult with regards to using the electricity here? They're doing malacha on my behalf. Someone's operating a power plant. So Ramosha claims, because doing it on behalf of Roiv Nachrim, even in Borough Park, there's Roiv Nachrim. And, I don't know if the Kiryas Yael gets their own power grid, they have a problem. But it's Roiv Nachrim, and they're not doing anything different because there's a few extra Jews on the power grid. On top of the Nachrim, so then that's where Moshe claims that's the heter for there as well. This is relevant with regards to sending express packages on Shabbos. It says over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Mem Zayin Sif Aleph, that a person is allowed to send a mail with a Nachri before Shabbos. Even though the Nachri might travel on Shabbos, I didn't ask him to travel on Shabbos. If it would get there 3 days later, I could care less. It says in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel there, Reish Mem Zayin Sif Gimel, I can't put mail in the mailbox on Shabbos. That's like doing business on Shabbos. When you put a stamp in the mailbox, you just cash the stamp. It's like doing business. But before Shabbos, I could put mail into the mailbox. Even if you're on your way to shul, I didn't ask the Nachri to take it on Shabbos. If he would wait till Monday, it wouldn't bother me. And if he does decide to come on Shabbos again, that's a daita the nafshe over. What about sending though an express package on Shabbos? Why ask the Nachri to go on Shabbos? Can you do such a thing? So the Marsham and the Minchas Yitzchak both allow it based on this rule of the Chayyadam, which is, since they're taking, most of the packages are not mine, and they're not Jewish. So they're adding one package for me. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Reish Mem Zayin Sif Hei, that same Simen, that if a Nachri is going one place, and a Jew asks him to take an extra package on his behalf, it's permitted. The Magen Avram disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham says, no, you, how can you be permitted? He's carrying an extra package on your behalf. So our Sameach explains they're arguing about is a Riboy B'Shiurim also when it comes to Amir Wanachar, we touched upon yesterday. When I, you know, when you're doing a Malacha, but you're doing it in greater quantity, is that a greater Malacha or not a greater Malacha? Sometimes when you do a Malacha in greater quantity, it is a Malacha, you know, it's an additional Malacha. Sometimes it's action-oriented, not result-oriented, in which case you're doing a Malacha in greater quantity, it's the same Malacha. So our Sameach claims that the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham are arguing about is Riboy B'Shiurim, doing a Malach in greater quantity, a greater Malach when it comes to Amir Wanachri, or is it the same Malacha? And the Shulchan Aruch is willing to entertain the possibility, you know, the Shulchan Aruch has an opinion, that when Amir Wanachri B'Riboy B'Shiurim is the same Malacha, even though you're adding quantity, it's the same Malacha, he's doing it anyway. So he's doing a Malacha that he would do anyway, on behalf of Roiv Nachrim, so the fact that now there's a Miyot Yisrael there, my package is there, it doesn't add anything. The Magen Avraham's opinion is, no, a Malacha of Hoitzah is done with greater quantity, even though it's being done on Yidei Amir Nachri, Riv Vishirim is also. And therefore it's considered to be a greater Malacha, and that's why the Magen Avraham is Machmer.
Wait, is that,
they have Malachas about? Hoitzah, everyone agrees, the more you carry, the more Malacha.
Okay,
the greater quantity, the greater Malacha. But I'm not carrying, the Nachri's carrying. So, when a Nachri is carrying, and I'm asking him to do it, so does Riba B'Shiurim apply or not? That's the machlokas. Each malacha we can discern, you know, we can figure out, when you shaft a bigger animal, is that a bigger malacha? When you cook a bigger pot, is that a bigger malacha? When you pick off a bigger apple off the tree, is that a bigger malacha? So that might depend on result-oriented versus action-oriented. The same action, but greater quantity. So each malacha might be different, Minchas Chinuch discusses. But what about with regards to Amir Wanachri in greater quantity? So Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion Amir Wanachri in greater quantity is the same Iser as lesser quantity.
Meaning Amir Wanachri to give that package, isn't it just specifically asking that one package?
No, because he's never taking just... If you send a messenger with just your package, then there's no head there. That's the classic Amir Wanachri. The Nachri's taking a million packages, UPS, FedEx. And I ask him, take my extra package? I thought that was obvious, right? I'm not sending a direct messenger.
But when you're giving it to him, and that itself is its own malacha, as you said.
No, you can't give it to him on Shabbos, for sure.
Okay.
That's like mailing a package on Shabbos. That's Mecca Chumemkar. You can't drop off a package of FedEx on Shabbos. I'm asking him, I'm sending it Friday, I want it there Monday. Meaning, normally, I don't care if it gets there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, I don't want a month from now, but I don't care a day or two. Shabbos doesn't bother me. But FedEx, I'm overnighting it. I want it there Monday morning. It's closing document.
Yeah, because it's something over Shabbos.
Right. FedEx is traveling. He's traveling to California, but he's bringing a million packages to California.
And even though we consider that carrying as an extra malacha.
If a Jew would be doing it, Hoitzo would probably be, Riba B'Shirim would be a greater malacha. When it's done on a day, Amir Wanachri, does that consider to be an additional Iser? Or is that considered to be included in the action that he's doing anyway? And greater quantity doesn't make it worse. That's how the Or Sameach understood this machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch
and
the
Magen Avraham. And why would that, what's the svar for why? For him, it wouldn't.
Because, again, he's going anyway. So for a Jew to carry.
Then we count it as a completely opposite new.
Yeah, well, the Magen Avraham may be compelling, but that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, yeah. Yeah. It could be the argument about Riba B'Shiurim B'Hotzah, but there's a lot of sources to indicate that if you add stuff, there's Mishnayos and Shabbos, if you add stuff to what you're carrying, that's a greater Malacha. So. Yeah, so the Minchas Yitzchak and those poskim who allowed an express package on Shabbos are basing themselves on that sif and Shulchan Aruch. They ask enough to take an additional package is permitted, even though I want them to travel on Shabbos. What if I want delivery on Shabbos, though? You say I can't send the package on Shabbos. That's Mekach Memka. What if I want delivery on Shabbos? So the here it's a little bit different because I want the Nachri to stop his car in front of my house, or in front of someone else's house. So now I'm not just asking you to carry a whole bunch of packages, my package together with a whole bunch of packages. I'm asking you to stop your car in front of so-and-so's house, get out of the car, and deliver the package. So that's a little bit more difficult. However, at the same time, I think that there's, assuming that he's stopping his truck on that block anyway, most places are going to make multiple stops on each block, not presumably only on behalf of Jews. So then he could have, or even at the closest Nachri's house, unless you're ordering a refrigerator, the guy probably stopped a block away or two blocks away, even three blocks away, and it's reasonable to walk the packages to the houses. I mean, I remember the olden days when the mailman used to walk around, the neighborhood with a satchel. So people can still walk around, and it's not unreasonable to ask him to do that while holding, two books from Barnes & Noble. I think if you're ordering a table and a refrigerator and air conditioners, it's unreasonable that the guy's going to come unless he's going to stop his car in front of my house. So then you might have a bigger issue on Shabbos. And you might have a bigger issue on Shabbos. Once you're going to say all this, again, we're going to put the Chai Adam together with the Shulchan Aruch. What did the Shulchan Aruch say by asking a Nachri, to do Ribui B'Shiurim, to do something in greater quantity? But he was doing it anyway on behalf of Roiv Nachrim. And I'm just asking him to do a little bit greater quantity for me. But it's all the same action he was doing anyway. He was driving the UPS truck. They were flying the FedEx plane. I'm just adding a package there and to it. But it's really the same action he was doing anyway, which is the Shulchan Aruch with the letter and the Chai Adam, with Roiv Nachrim and Amiyat Yisrael. And anyway, he's doing the same action. So one could perhaps kvetch in a heter to subscribe to a newspaper on Shabbos. The Maram Shik was asked, is a person allowed to subscribe to a newspaper on Shabbos? But they're going to print the newspaper Shabbos morning, not just deliver it, print it on Shabbos morning. So Maram Shik said, no, you're not allowed to because they're printing a paper on your behalf. How can I ask an Achri to print a paper on my behalf? So Deborah Tsinarov writes in the Be'er Maisha also, it was a major Pesach in the United States. So he writes that this is only assuming that they print, the number of papers based on the subscriptions that they have. If they're going to print the paper, the same number of papers anyway, now I'm ordering one, so they're dropping it off by me, so then the issue wouldn't apply. But if they are printing a paper on my behalf, then it would be usher. And without a doubt, the New York Times prints papers just for Jews. If all the Jews would cancel their subscriptions, they would print less newspapers. No, it's emes. All these newspapers are highly sensitive to how many subscriptions they have and print newspapers accordingly. They don't want to have leftover newspapers. And if all the Jews would cancel their newspaper subscriptions, there would definitely be less New York Times. So according to the Maram Shik, how is a person allowed to subscribe to the newspaper on Shabbos? So perhaps you're right. It's prohibited. And it might even be prohibited to read the newspaper on Shabbos. You're not allowed to speak about Malacha. You're not allowed to read Malacha. It's all Shtari Hedyotis, and we're not discussing that now. Fine, but maybe there's other things you want to read in the newspaper. That's Einig Shabbos, the sports section. I don't know. Fine. So let's assume the newspaper for now is, you're allowed to read it on Shabbos without getting involved in that issue. But how can I subscribe to the newspaper? The guy's printing it on my behalf. So perhaps we can say, no, but they're printing. How are they accomplishing this? Shmir Shabbos Kochaz already quotes from Shlomo Zalman. He says, Toiv lehimana, it's best to avoid it. But if they're printing the newspapers all in one action, like pressing a button, but now it's printing more newspapers when he presses a button as opposed to less newspapers, so that's Riboy B'Shiurim. So yes, for a Jew to print more papers would be an Iser on Shabbos. To write, quantity here makes it a greater malacha, without a doubt, with regards to Kosei. If you press a button and 50 newspapers pop out as opposed to 49, it's a greater malacha. But with regards to Amir Lenachri, according to the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to be lenient with regards to Riboy B'Shiurim doing a malacha in greater quantity. Does not bother me when it comes to Amir Lenachri, as long as it's the same action. So then perhaps we could kvetch in a heter over here too. There are those who say, I asked one, I don't want to say who, but one major Pesach who subscribes to the newspaper, interestingly. So I said to him, how do you, what do you do about your newspaper on Shabbos? So he said, well, I told years ago the delivery man, I don't want the paper on Shabbos. Now he delivers it. He comes on his own. I told him not to do it. It's like telling the guy not to turn on the light on Shabbos. He does it anyway. says, come on. Says, hey, guy, if you call up the New York Times and tell them I want to cancel my Saturday subscription, they would cancel your Saturday subscription. Yelling at the delivery man as he's running away. I thought it was ridiculous. But anyway, okay. Shulchan Aruch says over here, Shin Zayin Sif Hey, discusses, what about doing Amir Anachi B'Makai Mitzvah? So the Gemara says in this after the Shabbos we discussed yesterday, they used to wash the baby in hot water as an antiseptic. So one time, they used to do this after the Bris Milah, which is what we discussed yesterday. They also used to do it before the Bris Milah. So let's say the water spills, and they need to get new hot water. So there's hot water, but it's in someone else's house. And there's no Eruv here. It's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's not Times Square, but it's a Carmelis. So Gemara says it's permitted to ask an Achri to bring water, Derech Carmelis, in order to perform the Bris Milah. To serve as an antiseptic to allow us to perform the Bris Milah. So some Rishayim on that Gemara said that's only B'makom Milah, which is a great mitzvah. So then Shus to Shvus is Mut B'makom Mitzvah. But not B'makom Milah, B'makom another mitzvah would be prohibited. But the Ramah says in Shin Sain Sifhei, the Shulchan Aruch quotes to Machmirim, then the Ramah says the meaning is to be Meiko, that Shus to Shvus is Mut B'makom any mitzvah, not only Bris Milah. But there, one of the Shvusim, a double the Rabbanim, one of them was Amir Olenachri. Supreme Gadam discusses, does one of the, in order to allow any Shvus to Shvus, B'makom Mitzvah, by Nik Shabbat, some other mitzvah, does one of them have to be Amir Olenachri? Because perhaps Amir Olenachri is more lenient than other Isurim de Rabbanim. So Rav Avadia writes in the Sefer Levi Aschein, Rav Shechter quotes this in the Bikvei Atzon. There's a Raya from Tosfos and Ksubas. We don't have time to get into the Raya, but it's a Raya from Tosfos and Ksubas that one of the Isurim de Rabbanim does not have to be Amir Olenachri. Even if it would be two other Isurim de Rabbanim, we would say Shvus to Shvus is Mutu B'makom Mitzvah. And that's how the Bir Alach, the Chazanish Paskin, even if one of them is not Amir Lenachri, Shvus to Shvus be Mutar, B'makom Mitzvah. So let's say, for example, a person's alarm goes off on Shabbos in the house. So you should probably be turning it off. It's an Isur D'Rabbanan, using electricity without a glowing filament. And let's say you do a Kalachar Yad. Certainly I could ask an Achri to turn it off. But if I could do a Kalachar Yad, and that would be preferable, but if there's no Nachri available, to do a Kalachar Yad would also be permitted. Let's say a person, if Shech likes to give this example, a person comes into his bedroom and by accident someone turns on the lights on Shabbos. And there's no other room to sleep. If the guy has another bedroom that's available, he should sleep there. But let's say there's no other room available, so he's allowed to turn off the light, kalacha yad, with his toe. Shvus to shvus, but makom mitzvah, one turning off the light, even if it's an incandescent bulb, is kibui, which is malach shein tzricha legufa, I don't need the pecham. And you're doing it in an abnormal way, it should be a shvus to shvus, is mutter, but makom mitzvah. There are those, let's say, Einik Shabbos, to be able to sleep
so
in the room on Shabbos.
For any Shvus to Shvus B'makom Einik Shabbos?
Yeah.
And what's the definition of Einik Shabbos that's helpful here?
I think not being able to sleep is a pretty much an Einik Shabbos. I wouldn't say that for a Shabbos afternoon nap. No. People sleep on the couch on after Shabbos afternoon nap.
And it has to be a significant traction.
Oh, yeah,
like
I think
any
so.
Oneg
no.
Shabbos,
no.
To have this music
no. Yeah. We forgot the 15th kugel or the 4th dessert. No. But look, people allow, even in a place where there's no Erev, a Nachri to push a stroller in a Carmelis in order to socialize on Shabbos. Nah, you know, to get to shul or to go out to eat. You know, one could argue, is that, you know, is having guests on Shabbos considered, you know, do I really need that? But once, you know, if a person is going to a Simcha and he's being Meshtatim in a Simcha, you know, Sheva Brochis, not every Shabbos, they don't go out every Shabbos, or if his wife doesn't get to go out and socialize, they're going to have to move out in the neighborhood. So, you know, all these things might play into it. But yeah, it has to be something significant.
So turning off an alarm clock is because it'd be incredibly noisy and loud over Shabbos?
I didn't say an alarm clock. I meant like a house alarm. An alarm clock, you should probably come up. It is Mutter, Shvus, Shvus, B'makom Mitzvah. Yeah, I think you can make that argument.
Is it even Kalachar Yad, or Ayat Enachri?
Oh, so that's the question. So we said even if it's Kalachar Yad, it would be permitted. It would be permitted. But
so
the big question with regards, yeah?
So if I forget to turn off the light to Shabbos, I can do a Kalachar Yad?
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, don't forget. But that's the big question over here with regards to Shvus to Shvus B'makom Mitzvah. Is this a policy or is this a contingency? Meaning, can we go into a Shabbos knowing that we're arranging a Shabbaton in a hotel where the only way we're going to be able to open the doors on Shabbos is by stationing a Nachri on every floor who's going to use the key card to open the door? Or perhaps, you know, that's only if I arrive, you know, my flight gets canceled and I have to stay in the airport hotel and the only doors that they have are key cards, so I can ask a Nachri to open my door for me. It's a contingency. Or I'm going on a business trip and the firm is staying in a hotel which only has key cards, and if it were up to me, I would plan it somewhere else, but it's not up to me. So then, you know, you can stay there on Shabbos. But if I'm planning, you know, why you connect Shabbaton, we really shouldn't plan it in a place where we're going to have to station Nachrim on every floor. Shvus to Shvus is a contingency, not a policy. So our Messiah in this yeshiva is, all the Paiskim here, of the opinion it's not a policy, it's a contingency. And the Ksav Sefer in his Shuvas has a deal from the language of the Rambam, Hilchos Mila, and Sharatziyat and Simarash Mamdalat of Kam Lamed Hey also seems to imply that this is a contingency, not a policy, and therefore it should be avoided, you know, when possible. But, you know, your light was left on. Okay, what are you going to do? Then it's permitted. But to have it as something that's kind of like a regular way of operating doesn't seem to be, something we should accept. So let's say a person is, the only way to get to the shul is by asking a nachri to push the button on the elevator. So if I'm there for Shabbos and that's how everyone gets into the shul, okay, it's a contingency for me. But should that really be the policy every Shabbos that this is the only way to get into the shul? Is a shvus to shvus b'mokay mitzvah. So you'll say, well, we have no choice. This is where the shul is. Okay, you know, before I moved to, you know, I live part-time in Manhattan. Before I was in Manhattan, I used to say, why would you pick to live on the 12th floor of an apartment? You need such a view of the river, you know, of the Riverside Drive and the Hudson River. It's so important to you. So, but a lot of times when you live in Manhattan, you see, a lot of times, there are very few apartments that fit all of your, what your qualifications that you're looking for, the number of bedrooms and, you know, the bed, the type of building and, you know, say location, you really don't have too much of a choice. So sometimes, you know, life is a contingency and not a policy. But for the most part, you know, generally speaking, a shul, part of its operating policy should not be shvus to shvus mokay mitzvah. So let's say, there's a kiddush on Shabbos and the floor needs to be mopped because people were, you know, treated the shul like a barn. So, and you can't have shalashudas in the room because it's so messy. So then to ask the nachrim, we'll get to that too. So to ask them, maybe in that kind of situation, a contingency would be, you know, might be other heterim. I know there's one shul that asks the nachri every Shabbos when the Rav speaks to turn off the air conditioning, because otherwise you can't hear him. So every Shabbos they do like that. Right. Yeah. So when they hired the Rav, you probably could hear him. Now he's an old man, you can't hear him. So it's a contingency, probably not a policy.
What's the microphone?
Well, they don't use microphones. They can't hear him, so they turn off the air conditioning. Some shuls, the air conditioning is very bad. The Rama writes over here in Simon Reishon and Vav Siv Beis, quotes from the Gemara Masechtas Gittin, which tells us, "Kaizvino of Aino Efilo B'Shabbos and Af Chesim and Aleph, one is allowed to instruct the Nachri to purchase a property for him on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, because he's purchasing karka for you in Eretz Yisrael. So you're allowed to ask a Nachri to sign on the lease or to sign on the, you know, on the closing documents. So Amir Nachri is permitted to buy karka in Eretz Yisrael." So the Balaiter, the Rishonim quote there from the Balaiter, that not only shvus to shvus mutu b'makay mitzvah, you see from here, one amir l'nachri, one shvus is mutu, even though ksiva is malacha day raisa, I'm allowed to ask enough for you to do it on my behalf in order to buy karka and eretz yisrael. Shvus, well, amir l'nachri is always mutu b'makay mitzvah. That's the opinion of the Balaiter. The Ramah quotes the Balaiter, and the Ramah says in Reishon Vav Siv Beis, we don't paskin that way. We assume it has to be a shvus to shvus b'makay mitzvah in order to be permitted, not one shvus. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chai Adam, that b'makay mitzvah derabim, meaning it's affecting many people, we can rely on the Balaiter. And even one shvus will be permitted b'makay mitzvah derabim. So this is what's known as the heter of the, you know, the guy in the shul. If we see the lights are not on for davening, or someone by accident turns off the lights, you know, by davening, leans on the switch, you're allowed to ask an achri to turn on the lights for you, even though you might have incandescent bulbs, and it might be a malacha d'oraisa to turn on the lights, it's all permitted, b'makom mitzvah d'rabim. Or, to wash the floor might be a malacha d'oraisa. If, you know, the room got so messed up, we can't use the room, so then you could ask the nachri to vacuum the room, or you could ask the nachri to wash the floor. Should that be done every Shabbos? You know, I don't think you could ask the nachri to turn off the air and turn it back on Shabbos morning in order to save the money of the air running over Shabbos. No, you get it, you know, a timer on your air conditioning. But, you know, it's not a policy. This is a contingency. But even one shvus would be permitted by Mokai Mitzvah Derabim. One last issue I wanted to discuss is the issue of businesses on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah and some arrangement involves of Kan Lamed Aleph discusses the possibility of selling a business for Shabbos. Let's say a person has a business that he cannot close on Shabbos. What business can you not close? Nursing homes, residential properties if you manage. I have a guy who runs a suit store. And he says in the city, the busiest day is Shabbos. If he would close on Shabbos, he'd go out of business. So, what about these kinds of businesses which you simply can't close on Shabbos? what can one do? Can one sell a business for Shabbos just like we sell chametz for Pesach? People say all the time, we sell chametz for Pesach. Why can't I sell a business for Shabbos? So there's a critical difference between the two. One is that you're here by Pesach, you're avoiding an Easter of chametz. To avoid an Easter, you might be able to do what is known as, you know, a legal fiction, a harama. We should never do a harama to avoid a mitzvah saseh, to avoid a positive commandment. Those we should run to embrace. So that's how Rav Schechter has explained the distinction over here. So to sell a business for Shabbos and avoid, you know, the mitzvah of Shabboson, of keeping Shabbos, that's not appropriate. We should run to embrace Shabbos. To avoid the Easter, then it perhaps could be permitted. So we shouldn't, that's why the Mishnah Berurah over here is not happy about those who sell businesses for Shabbos. And he says you shouldn't be making unless it's a Shas Hadcha Godol. The policy of many Paiskim, Litvish Paiskim, was very negative towards selling a business for Shabbos. Rav Moshe in Chassidzchak of Soloveitchik was very opposed to it. The RCA has a letter about this from Rav Soloveitchik. They have a document which is totally useless, which is supposed to help if you want to sell a business for Shabbos, that comes with a cover letter, like a warning, you know, Surgeon General warning that the Rav is very opposed to this, but here's a document if you want to do it. But their document is so useless, it's so missing, you know, boilerplate, it's totally, you know, not helpful. If you want a real document to do this, I have one for you. But this is totally useless. But see the Shapaiskim. We're well known to do this when necessary to sell a business for Shabbos. In fact, the Divrei Chaim was known to sell businesses for Shabbos, and his son, the Shinever, the Divrei Yechezkel, would not do it. And once his son came out with a chumra, he wouldn't let him enter into the house. He was so upset at him. He's making chumras in the community that are not the tzibur is not yochel lamod bo. So he wouldn't let him enter into the house. Rav Schechter always says he used to have to climb in through the window. He would have let him come in the house, but only if he climbed in through the window. Okay, so selling the business for Shabbos. I've sold businesses for Shabbos for people who feel that there's no other alternative. You can do it, but it's... not necessarily.
Most
strategic
stores don't do their business
on Shabbos. Yeah, B&H Photo closes on Shabbos, and they've gotten a lot of good press about it. They even closed their website, which I don't think you have to do. B&H closes their website.
No, but you don't think you have to do it on Shabbos.
Close a website?
Yeah.
No, they're not processing anything on Shabbos.
From purchasing things on it?
Yeah, you can't.
You can't.
The whole website shuts down. It's not available. I mean, not that I've ever checked on Shabbos, but I'm told it's...
For which hours? 24 hours in New York?
Yeah, it's been in the newspapers many times that B&H closes on Shabbos. The website shut down.
The commercials said they're closed Friday afternoon and Saturday.
Yeah, but the website also. Oh, so selling businesses, whatever. Of course, there always is a taiva to work on Shabbos, and everybody doesn't go to work on Shabbos. Lawyers also, and they could get a lot of work done on Shabbos. It's part of keeping Shabbos, without a doubt. But there's some business, a nursing home, you can't close on Shabbos. So what are you going to do at a nursing home?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, suit store, I think, is schwer. It's a schwer matzav. But, okay, I'm not involved in other people's parnas. I don't know what his percentage of business he does on Shabbos. He tells me he's going to have to go out of business if he doesn't, you know, what am I going to tell him? But what about, are there any other options? So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Hei Sif Aleph discusses what is the best option is if you have a non-Jewish partner. Have a non-Jewish partner. Shulchan Aruch actually, Noach Chaim elsewhere says not to have a non-Jewish partner because in the end up having to take a shvua, you know, causing him to take a shvua with his God. But if you have a non-Jewish partner as part of your business, then you contract at the beginning that the proceeds of Shabbos all go to him and the proceeds of Monday or Sunday all go to you. But this has to be done when you initially buy the business together. If this you realize later, you can't add a non-Jewish partner later, you know, to kind of make this arrangement. It has to be something that's present at the very beginning. And you have to have a legitimate non-Jewish partner. Oftentimes, this is not feasible. It's a family-owned business. We don't have any non-Jewish partners, and they don't want to take a non-religious, you know, a non-Jewish partner just for this reason. That's really cutting into your significant profits. So a lot of times it's not feasible, but sometimes it is feasible. So what do you do about these kinds of businesses which it's really not feasible to take a non-Jewish partner? Is there any other possible way out? So the Shulchan Aruch consideration Beis Sif Beis discusses if I give a malacha to a koblen on Shabbos. We discussed I'm not allowed to have workers working for me on Shabbos because I'm instructing them to do malacha on Shabbos. What if I don't instruct them to do malacha on Shabbos? I tell them, this is your job. Do it whenever you want. And I pay them by the job. I don't pay them by the hour. So Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkan Tezvav, if I instruct him to work on Shabbos, then there's no heter of kabbalah on us. Even though he's really working for himself, he's not working for me. He's working for himself. He has a job to do. So even if he has to do it on Shabbos, he's really working for himself. We don't say every guy who's working, even though he gets paid by the hour, is really working for himself because it's for his benefit. He's doing what I asked him to do now. But this guy's paid by the job. So if he's paid by the job, one could have made the argument he's working for himself. But if I ask him, you know, the job requires that he work on Shabbos, he manages properties for me and he has to do it on Shabbos, So then, the Mishnah Berurah says, ideally, you know, that's not something that can be allowed. But otherwise, if I haven't asked him to work on Shabbos, or it's not in my house, I can't ask a kabbalan to work in my house either, because of Marasayan, maybe people will think, you know, he's a payo. Otherwise, kabbalanus is permitted. The Be'er Halacha discusses, what about a kabbalan who doesn't have to work on Shabbos, and it's in my house, and everybody knows he's a kabbalan? How does everybody know he's a kabbalan? He has a sign outside that says, you know, G&G contracting. And every person who builds a house uses a contractor. It's a kabbalan. They don't pay workers. No one, I don't know. I know one guy who hired workers to build his own house, but that's because he's a contractor, you know. But generally speaking, you don't know, I don't know too many people who hire their own, subs to do work in their house. They usually hire a contractor. So everybody knows it's a contractor. So Be'er Halacha discusses, what's really the Marasayan anymore? And he quotes from the Noi de Behuda who's Meiko, but then the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha quotes from the Chayyadam. Even if everybody's using a kabbalan, it should really be prohibited as long as it's taking place in your house. Rav Moshe accepts the Noi de Behuda for Chol HaMoed. Even though you're not allowed to ask an Achri to do Malach for you on Chol HaMoed, if he's a kabbalan, everybody knows he's a kabbalan, it's working on your house, it's permitted on Chol HaMoed, but not in Shabbos or Yom Tov, because he's doing work in your house. So the two limitations on kabbalanus are if it's in your house and I ask him to work on Shabbos. Then, you know, or the job requires that he work on Shabbos. Otherwise, kabbalanus is really up to him to do it whenever he wants. So, but the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simei Reish Mem Dalet Sivvav, in the name of the Maharam, that b'makom hefsid, you can allow a kabbalanus, even though he has to work on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch is discussing, Maharam is discussing, a Jew who purchases the right to collect taxes, because you get a percentage, like a collection agency. So he's going to sublet some of these collections to a non-Jew. And the non-Jew will collect on Shabbos. And he's asking the non-Jew to collect on Shabbos. But the non-Jew is really working for himself. He's going to get a percentage. He's a kabbalan or an oris. You know, he's working for himself. It's not that I pay him a salary. He's getting a percentage of the profits. So then the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's b'makom hefsid, or even b'makom havag, you know, hefsid revach, he's going to lose out on profit, then it's permitted, even though I'm asking him to do it on Shabbos. So that's one of the heterim many have floated nowadays. The Archa Shabbos has this, and other dayanim in America have this, that with regards to the nursing home, what perhaps is the best idea is to hire a management company, which gets paid by the job. They don't get paid by the hour. Their job is to manage the home. So if they're managing the home, and they're really working for themselves, even though I'm asking them to do it on Shabbos, and kabbalanus really is not permitted, if I ask them to work on Shabbos, makom hefsid, or makom hefsid revach, it would be permitted. A lot of times, though, people don't want to do that because half their profit comes from the management of these things, not only from owning them, but also from the management. So here you'd be losing the management fee. But perhaps that's the best way of avoiding the problem.